Hello, welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. This week, we're presenting St. Valentine of Rome, the story of Valentine's Day, adapted by Daniel Hines. The story of Valentine's Day comes from Christian hagiography. A hagiography is basically the story of the important deeds of a saint, in this case, St. Valentine. These stories are believed to be true by many sects of Christianity, but they were written so long ago that many of the details vary depending on which version you read. As with all of our stories based on world religions, we're presenting this as neither fact nor fiction, but simply sharing the story that Valentine's Day is based on. If you have a cool story from your culture that you'd like us to adapt and share, you can always send an email to hello@storiespodcast.com. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Agnes and Augustine and their family, Maya and Talia and their family, Lev Bryans and his family, and Andrew and Jason Johnson and their family. Thank you for helping to support our show, Jason, Andrew, Lev, Talia, Maya, Augustine, and Agnes. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. Here's a quick note about ads. Our audience has been growing fast. Almost all of that has been word of mouth from all of you, and we appreciate it so much. A bigger audience means more costs for hosting and other expenses like that. The sponsors of our show are generous enough to support us and bring you these episodes so you don't have to pay a cent. Of course, if you'd rather not listen to ads, we totally understand. Instead of listening to ads, you can go to patreon.com/stories and pledge a dollar. For just a $1 pledge, you get every episode, new and old, completely ad-free. Pledge $5 and you get all the episodes and a thank you in a future episode. Pledge $10 and you get all that plus a cool illustrated print that we'll mail to you. And if you don't want to pledge anything, just keep listening for free here, courtesy of our wonderful sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, there's so many worlds you can explore.
Like Hyrule, where I can fight enemies and save the kingdom with Link.
That sounds adventurous!
Or my very own island in Animal Crossing New Horizons, where I can fish whenever I want.
Whoa! Look at the size of that thing! You can find even more worlds to explore on the Nintendo Switch system. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Saint Valentine of Rome. The year was 270 AD. Over 1,700 years ago, and the Emperor of Rome was a violent soldier named Claudius II. He had risen to power through the ranks of the military and was made emperor after he defeated a usurper named Aurelius. The details of his rise are largely lost to time, but it is believed by many that he became emperor only after betraying his friend, the Emperor Gallienus. Whatever the truth may be, all agree he valued military might above all other things. He wanted his soldiers to be the very best, and he put them through every kind of training you can imagine. They were made to march 20 Roman miles, run and climb while wearing a full and heavy backpack, and fight for much of each day with wooden swords and wicker shields. This rigorous training produced some of the finest soldiers in the world, but it still was not enough for Emperor Claudius. He noticed that some of the men seemed unwilling to risk their lives for the Roman Empire. And after much careful thought, he decided he knew what the problem was.
"I have a proclamation in mind," he said one day to his second-in-command, the great General Aurelian. "Love makes men weak. It clouds their minds and makes them unable to focus on battle. I want marriage forbidden among all the soldiers. Their wives shall be Rome, and only Rome, and they shall never know another love while they serve."
Aurelian spread the proclamation across the empire. Soon, everyone knew that it was illegal for soldiers to marry, and it was also illegal for anyone to perform for them the marriage ceremony. This proclamation was a terrible blow for the tens of thousands of young soldiers in love, and word soon reached Valentine, then a bishop near Rome. He was in his home, praying to himself, when his priest Titus burst through the doors.
"Bishop, Valentine, I have news! I have such terrible news!"
Valentine rose and took the young priest by the shoulder to steady him. The young man was flushed red and there were tears drying upon his cheeks.
"Calmly, my son," Valentine said, guiding Titus to sit on a nearby wooden bench.
Tell me this news and we will sort it.
With a shaky hand, the priest handed Valentine a sheet of papyrus. On it, Emperor Claudius's proclamation was laid out in detail.
Is this true? Would the emperor go this far? It must be a forgery.
Titus shook his head, heaving a sigh.
If only you were right, Bishop. I've talked to soldiers in the city, and they've had the same news from their commanders. No young man of soldiering age is permitted to love or marry. What will we do?
Valentine laid an arm across the shaking priest's shoulders.
Don't worry, my son. To love and marry are rights all people should have. What the emperor says does not matter any more than the chittering of the birds or the barking of the dogs.
The priest looked with wide eyes.
What are you saying?
Valentine stood and looked to his door, thinking perhaps of all the couples that had come through desiring marriage and proclaimed their love for all the world to see.
Love and marriage will continue, no matter what the emperor says. Go and let it be known, but only among those you trust. It's a fine line we walk here. We are balanced on the edge of a sword with danger on every side, and but a single, painful path to walk. So we must walk it carefully.
The priest Titus nodded and went back out into the streets. With careful touches and quiet words, he let it be known among the soldiers that Bishop Valentine would still be performing marriages, no matter what the emperor said. The very next night, Valentine traveled to a nearby stout stone building. Inside was nothing but a roughly made staircase leading down into the dark. The bishop took his torch and used it to light a hidden torch set into the wall, filling the little room with a warm and flickering light. He proceeded down the stairs, pausing halfway down to light another torch on the wall. At the bottom of the stairs was a large room with stone benches and a crude altar. Side passages led away into the darkness. Valentine circled the room and lit more torches, pushing the darkness away.
"Hello? Bishop!" came the voice of Titus from the top of the stairs. I have our guests!
Hello, and welcome to the catacombs, said Valentine. I'm sorry I have only this poor church to offer, but I fear the Empire is still against Christians having a public church above, so we must hide below.
Titus entered the room, followed closely by three young Roman couples. They looked nervous, but Valentine welcomed them warmly.
So pale, but take heart. Here the heart of love still beats, and today you will be married.
And there, in the catacombs beneath the edges of Rome, the bishop conducted the marriages. The word spread quickly among the soldiers of Rome, and soon not a night passed that Valentine wasn't busy with weddings. Though the threat of prison or worse was always present, lurking at the back of each ceremony like the emperor's grim shadow, Valentine did not stop. The months passed. How many, we don't know, but hundreds of young Romans came to see Valentine and were wed in violation of the emperor's decree. So it's not surprising that he eventually was caught. The bishop was in the middle of marrying a young Roman couple when the door to the catacombs was shattered by a heavy ram.
"The legions!" cried the bride-to-be.
"Quickly, into the darkness!"
said Valentine, ushering the couple into one of the dark side chambers before returning to stand at his altar. Seconds later, the legions entered the catacombs, clad in heavy armor and each armed with spear and sword and shield. They circled Bishop Valentine and leveled their weapons. From behind that bristling line of blades, their commander stepped forward.
"You are the Bishop Valentine?"
"I am."
"You were accused of performing marriages against the proclamation of the emperor."
"I am guilty of that charge."
"Then you are under arrest. Please come with us."
Valentine followed peacefully. No doubt he knew this was his fate from the second he decided to defy the emperor. He was brought to a prison containing many other prisoners and left alone in a cell. It was a dark time for Valentine, but luckily it wasn't to last. The guard of the prison was a man by the name of Judge Asterius. He was a kindly guard and educated and would frequently sit outside of Valentine's cell and talk for hours. Eventually, he saw a way in which Valentine might help him. Valentine, my friend and prisoner, said Asterius as he sat in front of the bishop's cell. The greeting had become their daily ritual, and Valentine knew his reply.
Asterius, my friend and jailer, what news do you bring me today?
No news, but a request, if I can ask it of you.
I'm hardly in a position to refuse.
Asterius smiled at that.
My friend, I have a daughter. She was born blind. I fear that she is not getting the education that she should. You are a man of the world, well versed in the classics of Rome and Greece and beyond. Would you consent to teach her?
Friend Asterius, as long as the emperor sees fit to keep me in this cell, I would love the opportunity to speak to her. The hours are long and dull, and I miss the days of preaching.
And her blindness?
Is of no matter to me. The blind or deaf or otherly abled are as entitled to knowledge as any of God's children.
Thank you, friend.
And the next day, Asterius returned with his young daughter in tow. She was shy and slight, and her eyes were a pure and milky white. She tap-tapped her way down the prison hallway, one hand on her father's arm and one on an olive branch staff. Asterius fetched a chair and set it just outside of Valentine's cell, and his daughter sat gracefully.
Hello, child.
Hello, my name is Julia. Are you my new teacher?
I suppose I am, and it's good to meet you, Julia. I am Bishop Valentine of Rome, but you may call me Valentine for the sake of celerity.
What's celerity?
Celerity means moving quickly.
Oh, okay. It's nice to meet you too, Valentine.
Good, good. Now, are you ready for your first lesson?
I am. What do I have to do?
Just listen closely. There'll be questions at the end.
And Valentine told the girl the story of the founding of Rome by Romulus and Remus. When he was done, he quizzed her sharply and was delighted when she got nearly every question correct.
How did she do?
Asterius asked later that night when Julia had returned home.
She is remarkably quick, bright as the sun and sweet as a summer breeze.
And you're not just saying that because you're my prisoner?
Friend, I am a poor liar. Even when the legions found me in my catacombs, I could not deny my crimes.
So, you will continue her education?
It would be my pleasure.
And Valentine was as good as his word. Every afternoon, Julia would come tap-tapping down the hallway with her olive branch staff, finding her seat and sitting at rapt attention while the bishop told her stories and asked her questions. Before long, it was the best part of their days, and Valentine, Julia, and Asterius became good friends. Always the bars of the cell were between them, but it turns out bars aren't all that much, not when they're between friends. Soon, Julia had memorized all of Valentine's best stories, and he started her on memorizing poetry. If anything, Julia took to poetry even faster than stories, and before long, her sweet voice filled that dreary prison with life. All the prisoners, spread in their lonely cells throughout the building, felt a momentary joy when they heard it, like a cool breeze on a hot day. Things might have kept on that way for years, but one afternoon, Asterius chanced to be listening, and what he heard nearly broke his heart.
"Hello, my Valentine," said Julia, taking her seat outside the bars.
"Hello, my Julia. Have you memorized the poem from yesterday?"
"I have."
"Then let's hear it."
Julia cleared her throat and sang out.
"Offspring of Jove, Calliope once more. To the bright sun, thy hymn of music pour. Whom to the child of star-clad heaven and earth, here a face of large-eyed nymph brought forth. Here a face of a famed sister fair. Great Hyperion, who to him did bear a race of loveliest children, thy young born, whose arms are like twin roses newly born. The fair-haired moon and helmet whence arise, and are shot forth the far clear beams of light. His countenance with radiant glory bright, beneath his graceful locks far shines around, and the light vest with which his limbs are bound, of wool ethereal, delicately twinned, glows in the stream of the uplifting wind. His rapid steeds soon bear him to the west, where their steep flight his hands divine arrest, and the fleet car with yoke of gold which he sends from bright heaven beneath the shadowy sea. Sends from bright heaven beneath the shadowy sea.
As the last of that beautiful poem echoed down the prison hallway, Valentine and Julia heard the stifled crying of Asterius just around the corner.
Father, are you okay?
Asterius came over and laid a gentle hand on his daughter's head.
I'm fine, child, but I have business with Valentine. Go upstairs into my office and wait for me. I won't be long.
Yes, father,
Julia said, and tap-tapped her way down the hall and up the stairs. When Asterius turned to look at Valentine, the bishop saw what the girl could not have. Tears streamed openly down the kind old jailer's face.
Asterius, my friend and jailer, what is the matter?
Asterius slumped into his daughter's chair, holding his head in his hands and weeping openly.
That poem, that beautiful poem about the sun, my poor Julia has never seen the sun. She will never see the sun as long as she lives.
Valentine started to reply and then froze. Within his heart, he heard the voice of his God calling to him. It whispered to him what he must do.
Friend, how many people are imprisoned here for no other crime than their beliefs?
Asterius looked up sharply.
What? Why would you ask me that now? Please, just tell me. Fine then. Let me see, perhaps 100? Most of the prison, if truth be told.
And if Julia's blindness could be cured, would you set them free?
What? How could you even ask me that? There is no cure for the blind.
Didn't Jesus cure the blind in the city of Bethsaida?
So you say, but truly, can she be cured?
Will you release those of us imprisoned for our beliefs, myself included?
Asterius rose from his chair and nodded slowly.
I will. If you can do this thing, I will set you all free.
Very good, jailer. Now bring her to me.
Asterius, brow furrowed, went upstairs and fetched Julia.
Hello, my Valentine, she said.
She moved to sit in her chair, but Valentine stopped her.
No, my Julia. Come to my voice.
Julia hesitated.
It's okay, honey, said Asterius. You can go.
Julia stood and shuffled a few steps closer until her olive branch staff knocked against the bars.
Now what?
She asked.
Do you trust me? Valentine asked.
I do.
Then open your eyes and stay still.
She did, the milky whites of her eyes shining in the sunlight, filtering through the cell's meager window. Valentine reached through the bars and laid his hand on the girl's forehead. For a moment, nothing happened, and then the milky white began to stir like snow in the wind. It fluttered this way and that, and then began to fade away, bit by bit revealing the bright green of the girl's eyes beneath.
By the gods!
Gasped Asterius. The last of the white faded away, and Julia blinked up at the sunlight.
Father, I can see! I can see!
It's a miracle! Valentine, you were a wizard.
Valentine smiled and shook his head.
It wasn't me, but God moving through me. Well then, praise be his name, Asterius said and unlocked the door to Valentine's cell. Be free, my friend, and come, let us free your brothers and sisters as well. And so they went, cell to cell, until every last wrongly imprisoned person was free. Bishop Valentine, the patron of love, again had a flock.
Now you must go before the Emperor hears of this, Asterius said when they had finished. I wish you the best, my friend.
And mine to you and Julia. And with that, Valentine led his flock from the prison. He never returned, and Asterius and Julia never saw him again, but some weeks later, a dove flew into the open window of their home, clutching a paper tightly in its beak.
Father, look!
The bird dropped the paper onto Julia's lap, cooed once, and flew away.
What is it?
Julia unfolded the paper. It was shaped as a heart, red and bright, and there was something written in the middle.
What does it say?
Asked Julia, who was only just learning to read. Asterius picked up the paper and smiled broadly.
Father, father, what does it say?
He set it down and folded her in a tight hug.
It says, to Julia, love your Valentine.
Julia hugged him back, and then, paper in hand, they went outside together for their new favorite ritual, watching the sunset.
The end. Today's episode, St. Valentine of Rome, was adapted by Daniel Hines from the Christian Hagiography, performed by me, Amanda Weldon, and includes a poem by the Greek poet Homer, translated to English by another great poet, Percy Shelley, with music written by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, listen to all of our episodes ad-free, and receive a thank you in a future episode, please visit patreon.com/stories to make a pledge, then send an email to Amanda at storiespodcast.com and tell us who we should thank. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.